Hey, this is Dr. Letitia Wright, and you're listening to the Get Crowdfunded Now podcast. This podcast is for anybody who's interested in crowdfunding. You want to learn about raising money for your business, investing, or even how to raise money for a charity using crowdfunding. I'm your host, Dr. Letitia Wright, America's crowdfunding strategist and a crowdfunding expert that's actually been there, done that, and got the money. Thanks for hanging with us. Here's today's podcast. I want to give you a quick preparation for this podcast because it's really great. We're talking about a virtual tip box called Mizu, where you can get paid from people without having to take all of their data. You can pay people without having to get all of their data, and it works just like cash. So it's really interesting, a great tool for crowdfunders. And Yuval Brisker, the CEO and founder, gave us a great interview and also talked about his fundraising process for his company. This is a vital show. I really, really want you to listen to it. And in the show notes, we've got the links to everything that he's talking about, including the social media handles. Enjoy. All right, you guys, this is the interview you have been waiting for. And why? Because you guys are always talking about how to move your money around. What should you use to take in money? And that's a big deal for crowdfunders because you have all kinds of people putting money into your project, into your business. Well, guess what? We're going to talk about a new way. A virtual chip jar, a way that people can give you money or you can give money without them giving you the personal information. I want to introduce you to Yuval Brisker. He's the CEO and founder of Mizu. And we're going to talk about how it works, why we want to use it. And he's also going to share with us his 2018 raise, okay? How much he got from VC funders and just all the good stuff that you want to hear. So welcome to the Get Crowdfunded Now podcast.
Thank you so much. Nice to be here.
Now, Mizu is about, Mizu is about encrypted transactions, okay, where you can pay anyone any amount and be private. So right. I'm going to act like a, 80-year-old person. If I'm doing something legit, why do I want to be private? Let's talk about that.
Well, not always are we exchanging money with people we know. I mean, sometimes you want to raise money or get money from people that you don't know. And so why would you want to exchange your email, phone number, your name or your social handle with somebody that you might only have one transaction with? So Mizu was really founded to allow people who would be, interacting with each other, maybe once or twice, maybe I'm paying a tip to a bellboy, or I'm, putting money in somebody's kind of tip jar if they're, broadcasting now on, live to the world, whether it's a lesson or a yoga lesson or, somebody's tutoring people. So every one of those people, people might actually be interacting with an audience only once. Or seeing people once, and so in that context, you really kind of want cash. So Mizu was designed to be just like cash, meaning that like cash. When you give somebody a dollar bill, you don't write your name on it. You give it to somebody, and it only has the name of the U.S. government on it. I look in the current apps that came before us, like PayPal or Venmo, to more like virtual checks, less virtual cash, or digital cash. So Mezu was meant to kind of fill that gap between a check and cash, and really to become that sort of cash-like digital component. But what it allows people is to raise money from the community, or to put their Mezu. We have something called a Mezu box that's like a tip jar, like a virtual chip jar, which you described, that allows people to put money in it, you know, through a number. So you basically have a number. It's a Mezu box number, and it's almost like a post office box, you know, for money, meaning you don't need to, you know, broadcast your name or give out your name or your email address or your phone number in order to basically for somebody to send you money. They send you money to this, to a Mezu box, which is like I said, the post office box or a safe deposit box for money that has it doesn't have your identity on it at all. And yet it belongs to you. So you will receive the money. You're the only one who's going to receive that money. So for anybody who's working in the crowd or working online today and doing things that they, you know, would have done, gotten money for, but now they're trying to figure out how to get money, Mezu box is great for them. So there's a lot of legitimate ways to, you know, things to do with the Mezu box and generally with Mezu. And our whole concept is that money, you know, it flows, right? It's something that people use and they choose how to use it, and we can't tell them how to use it. But at the same time, we want to protect their privacy. So that's how we came about with the idea of Mezu. And Mezu, by the way, means cash in Hebrew. It's the first two syllables of the word Mezuman, which means cash in Hebrew. So I thought that was a cool name. And we birthed it in 2017, and it's been doing very well and growing. And a lot of people, you know, use it for every kind of transaction, because Mezu supports a whole range of transactions. You can still send money to people that you know using their email address, and they will be able to see who you are. You can send to them anonymously, and you can, you know, give and get money without having to exchange any personal information. So it's really quite holistic in that respect.
Got it. I really like that you are connected to the FDIC. So you're not just some random app out there just floating around taking money. I just downloaded it this morning. It's really easy to find, you know, to fill out. And I do have a lot of clients that are in the entertainment area. And so I think it would be a great tip jar for them, especially since everybody is doing concerts online and they're doing all kinds of things online. It's just a great way. It also has a debit card. Is that correct?
It does. So, you know, basically Mezu is in fact structured like a bank account, meaning that it has an FDIC insured place. Basically, when you open up a Mezu account, you're actually opening up an FDIC insured account where you can store it's a bank account. It's an account that's stored in a bank. Our banking partner is Community Federal Savings Bank of New York, and that's where all the money is stored, and it's stored under your name, under your sort of virtual account, and it's protected by the FDIC insurance. And alongside that, you also have other, you know, aspects of a bank account, like a debit card. So we have a debit card that right now is a virtual debit card, meaning there's no physical card that you get in the mail or you get in your hand, but nobody wants a physical card now anyway. Nobody wants to touch
it.
I would say we were ahead
of time. And
so the interesting thing about our debit card is that you don't have to wait for it to come in the mail like our competitors, like Venmo or Cash. Until you get the card physically in the mail, you can't activate it. In our case, it's a purely digital card. So all you need to do is get the app. And the minute you're in, you know, you've got the app, you can immediately activate your debit card, and you can use it inside Apple Pay, or you can use it inside Google Pay, or you can put it in every online transaction. And I think most of our transactions today are online. So you can easily use it in any kind of online transaction purchase that you're doing. So, and then it's instantaneous. The minute you get through the screening process and you get the Mezu account, you can immediately activate the Mezu debit card, which we call the Mezu card. It's in partnership with MasterCard, and it's a fully fledged debit card. You can use it anywhere in the world, actually. So that's a big differentiator as well.
That is a big deal, because I also do a lot of teaching around the world, different countries. And one of the challenges I had with my Singapore partners is that we were trying to set up this payment and a payment, you know, way to pay. And, you know, what we were using, the people in India had problems, and we switched to something else, and the people in Malaysia had problems. And so that's what I really love about this, is that now we have an opportunity to, like I said, don't have to touch the money. Everybody can use it. And, you know, we're not hung up on different things, and you get it instantly. So don't have to worry about where's my money and 3 or 4 days to get the money and all this kind of stuff. I noticed that you are donating to the CDC. That is very cool.
Yeah. I mean, you know, doing our little part, asking our customers to donate, you know, a few bucks to the CDC, and we'll match them dollar for dollar. It's really a donation that's going to come from us to the CDC, but through us, through our customer, you know, our customers will help us. This is a very, intense, challenging, and important moment in human history, actually. So the feeling is that everybody's got to do something. And I felt very strongly that we want to support, you know, the CDC, because that is, you know, sort of a coordinator of all the efforts that we're doing collectively as a country. And also it's a global institution in a way that is meant to help protect people. So, and help us, you know, find a vaccine for the coronavirus. So, you know, this has become the number one thing, you know, the central component in our lives today. And, you know, obviously a lot of people are suffering, and we want to try and, you know, help whatever in any way we can. So that's the donation to the CDC is meant to really give our little share. That alongside, obviously, the Mezu Box, which we think is a great tool, as you mentioned, for, you know, people who are doing performances. I was actually, I did a dance, a little dance gym kind of session with a group in Santa Monica. You know, I'm in Cleveland, Ohio. So, like, all these interesting things are happening that were not possible before, right? That, you know, this group in Santa Monica, California does a twice a week something called Dance Church, and it's like a half an hour dance exercise in a way. And how do you, you know, donate to those people? How do you make sure that those that studios that used to basically collect a monthly, you know, fee now are doing it online, and they have to ensure some way that they can still get paid? So, you know, this is where Mezu Box comes in.
Absolutely. Okay, so tell us, how does Mezu make money from this service?
Well, Mezu makes money like a lot of other financial services from, you know, all sorts of little fees that you collect, you know, from mostly from merchants at this point. So we're not charging our users at all. We are getting, you know, a bit of interchange from the interchange fee from the debit card. We are about to launch our service internationally, so we'll be making money from Forex and from foreign exchange fees. So, you know, that's kind of the path. But right now, our main focus is to provide our services for free, especially at this time, and take whatever revenue we can get from we are getting from the interchange fees on our debit card. That's the number one source of revenue right now.
Got it.
You can mm-hmm. whole companies are being funded by interchange fees on their debit card.
Right. And it's not something sneaky. If any of your listeners, if this is your first time hearing of this, yes, all of the cards do this. I just always like to be really upfront with people about how the money is made, because a lot of crowdfunders go on sites and they say, well, the site says it's free. And it's like, honey, the site is not free. Let me show you how they make their money. And so, you know, I'm always keeping people aware so that you know where your money is. So no, he's not talking about something that's just Mezu does. All of your cards are doing this. And it's very, very standard. He hasn't said anything that's like, oh my gosh, this is a surprise. So if you're new and these terms are really new, you don't know what Forex is, go ahead and look that up. This isn't a show about Forex, but I am totally down with Forex. And, you know, this is, it makes sense. It totally makes sense for what he's saying. So I just want to clear that up for some of my super, super newbies. Let's talk about Meso Money Time.
Yeah. Tell me. So, well, you know, we had a, it's actually, we're doing it once a week now. And it's online on, you know, it's called, Meso Mondays. It's actually changed its name. And it's really, people who follow us on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook, you know, given a code using our app, which is once you type that code in, if you look at the way the app works, the app is, you know, if you're in person with another person and you want to pay them money, you put in the number, the sum that you want to pay that other person, and the app generates a 4-digit code. That you show that 4-digit code to the person you're giving money to, and that's what two people exchange. That 4-digit code, that's how you make the anonymous exchange, right? I show you the code, you type the code in, and then you get money. We do that once a week now online with Meso. We call it Meso Mondays, so it's actually today. It's at 8 p.m. Eastern, we kind of publish a code, which the people who type it in the fastest and the first, they'll receive a little bit of promotional dollars from us free. So we're kind of giving out money to people who are using the app and making it a little bit of fun. So you have to actually discover exactly what time, and because it's between 8 and 8:30, we publish it. Eastern, so it's 5 p.m. Pacific. And it's kind of a little fun game that we play, and you know, the fastest fingers get the money, and that's how we kind of teach people how to use the app and keep in contact with people. So you have to follow us on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook on one of those to actually see when we're publishing the money code, the Meso money code. And so I encourage everyone to follow us, because we give out, you know, sometimes we give $500, sometimes we get out $1,000 at a time. We do it every week. Yeah.
Okay. So what are those handles? We want to make sure.
Yeah. It's at GetMeso is our social handle. So at GetMeso on Facebook, on Instagram, and on Twitter. If you follow us on any one of those platforms, particularly in Instagram is kind of where we first publish the code and then it publishes on the others, then you'll be able to be eligible for receiving our, you know, our cash giveaway once a week on Mondays. Meso Money Mondays.
Meso Money Monday. Got that. Okay. Definitely
want to let
people know.
Monday.
That's Instagram. Yeah. That's Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. And we will have those handles in the show notes. Yeah.
Perfect. Follow us.
We will have them. Yes.
And that's so where we show them. We publish all of our promotions, by the way.
Okay. So all the promotions are published there. Awesome. Awesome. All righty. Let's talk a little bit about the journey of creating the company, growing the company, going from just the idea to actually getting, you know, big time funding in 2018. Let's talk a little bit about, okay, you founded the company and your friends, family, fans, and favors stage. A lot of my clients want to skip that. And I want to know what did you do? Did you go for friends, family, fans, and favors? Did you skip it? What was that stage for you like?
Thank you. I mean, you know, first thing we know, we had the idea for the company, which we thought was pretty cool. I mean, we looked at all the landscape of payment apps out there, and we realized that nobody's kind of filling that gap of of giving people the ability to exchange money without having to exchange their personal information, without having to give out their name, their email address, or their phone number. And we realized that that kind of gap in the payment space where, you know, most payment apps are basically replicating this idea of virtual check, i.e. that, right, you find somebody's name and you send them, you know, a sum of money, that we could actually produce something that was more like akin to virtual cash, in which you, so, you know, this idea caught people's imagination. And so, we did actually a small round initially with just, I would call it more angels, not really family but people that we had, you know, that I'd worked with in the past that really liked mm-hmm. the idea, that thought that there was a missing component in the payment space, in the mobile payment space, that Venmo and Cash App and PayPal and Zelle weren't filling. And, they immediately became, you know, interested and you know, gave us our initial money. But my background was that I'm a serial entrepreneur. So this is my second big venture. I had already built another venture that I here in Cleveland. It was an enterprise software company that I grew from myself and a partner to over 750 people worldwide. And it was sold to Oracle in the summer of 14. So I already had a track record of raising money and making, you know, giving a great return to my investors. And so I had investors who I'd worked with in the past who were willing to jump, who had actually, you know, made some significant return on their investment in my previous company, Toa Technologies, which was sold to Oracle. So it was a little easier than my first round of finding investors. I would say the first round of finding investors was really, you know, hard. And really it was a meticulous process of like finding who the venture capitalists are, who are interested in the thing that you're doing, who has a track record of investing lately, not, you know, 5 or 10 years ago in your area. And then it's really just, you know, the legwork, you know, going out, reaching out to people, knowing that you're going to get a lot of no's, many more no's than yeses, and really a lot of perseverance. So, you know, I would say for every 100, outreaches that I would make, I would get back, you know, 5 or 7 responses. And from those 5 or 7, maybe one person might be interested. So I think it's a really, it's kind of a numbers game, reaching out to as many people as possible. First thing, targeting the right investors. Secondly, reaching out to as many people as possible. And then thirdly, having something compelling to offer an investor that they can see that you're working on something really big, a big idea, that it's not just a niche product that can potentially have a little bit of return. Most venture investors are looking for sort of the grand slam. They know that in most cases it's not going to be a grand slam, but at least as going in, they want to invest in something that has the potential to be huge, and to have a global market or a really big, you know, impact on the community. So it's a very interesting process. But for this venture, I first went to some angels that had invested in my previous company. Then I went to venture investors that invested in my previous company. So it was a little easier for me in that, you know, that I'd already had a track record of success. So, you know, it was that first big round kind of grew out of that understanding that I'd done it before and I'd, you know, returned the investment and had that track record. So I wouldn't say it was easy, by the way, because my, you know, background was in enterprise software, in building software for businesses, not for consumers. And this is a completely consumer-oriented business. So there was definitely some, you know, credit that I got for having done it before and successfully. But at the end of the day, you know, it was a completely new area and a completely new, you know, sector. I was not in the financial sector. So, you know, past that first point, you know, you have to prove yourself and show that the thing that you've built has value. And that's the best way to actually raise money.
Very good. That's a great lesson. If you guys play this segment over and over again, because he really did drop some gems and some things that you need to understand as you're going out for your raise. He did raise, I believe, over $10 million in 2018 for Meizu. And, you know, it can be done, but you've got to understand the process and really listen to what his process was. So I think there's some great, great lessons in that. Thank you so much. One last thing. Do you, because somebody's already sent me this note to ask you. So do you feel like it makes sense for crowdfunders to use Meizu?
I do. I think that it's a great way to, if you, all you need to do is download Meizu and immediately you'll get a what we call a Meizu box number, which is that kind of anonymous address. And you can put that on any place that you're raising money and just, you know, say use Meizu to crowdfund. And here's and you just say Meizu.com to go and download, or the App Store, and post your Meizu box number, and people will know exactly where to put that money. So, and the nice thing about it is that because it's anonymous and just like cash, then that's how it's processed. You know, you won't actually know who that person might be giving, who the person is who might be giving you that money. But at the same time, you know, it's considered like cash. So there's a real positive to that as well. And it's very easy to do. So you don't have to go through a lot of mechanism. And I think that's the most important part, is that it's super easy. All the person needs to do is go on Meizu, go to pay to a Meizu box, and then they can find your number there and they click it just like they would click any other kind of address, except for it's an anonymous, you know, code. Absolutely fantastic and easy way to collect money.
Very good. Thank you so much for taking time out. You've given us some great lessons and a brand new tool. So if you guys don't know about Meizu Box, I'm going to be using it, and you need to try it out for yourself. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you guys for listening. Remember, ignoring one's conscience is neither safe nor right. And we'll see you next time. Thank you for listening to the podcast, and please share it out with your friends. I appreciate it so much. And you can financially support the podcast with 99 cents a month, or $4.99 a month, or $9.99 a month. That's right. Surprise! It's crowdfunding. Hey, you can support the podcast any way you like here on anchor.fm. I appreciate that. And I've got a special gift. Those of you who are supporting at the $9.99 a month will get a review of your projects. Normally I charge $250 an hour, but for my sweet and generous supporters, I am here for you. So you do whatever you want to do to help me, and I am going to help you. Thank you so much, and I'll see you again next time. Remember, ignoring one's conscience is neither safe nor right.